2003, I was able to take several months off my work as a doctor, and I was blessed to be able to speak or preach in the open air up to 13 times a week over a period of around 6 weeks up and down the east coast of Scotland. And this was an immense blessing to me, an immense encouragement. It's such a sweet thing to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there were so many remarkable experiences. And I wrote a daily report at that time and emailed it to a number of people on a daily basis. But I wrote my reports in a particular way. And the way I wrote them was this, that it would be both an accurate account of what had actually happened in the towns that these things had happened in, but also that I would take a different aspect of open-air preaching each day and try to create a theology of open-air evangelism which others could follow. So that this became, to me, the writing of an instruction book on open-air evangelistic work, which I hope others will be blessed and encouraged by. We really do need open-air preachers. We really do need to preach the gospel to people where they are. And I thank God for everybody that's preaching the gospel faithfully in the open air in the UK today. Many difficult times, many problems associated with that. But I thank God so much for that. And also want to mention the legal work of people like the Christian Concern, who've been so instrumental in keeping the door open for us legally to go out there and to declare that there is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Saviour of the world. So I was massively blessed by what happened in 2003, but saddened by the hardness of people's hearts. But even so, up and down the east of Scotland, seed has been sown, and who knows, but today that seed might bear its fruit, because one sows and another reaps, and God gets the glory. I just want to pray, Father, bless the preaching that was done in 2003 on the east of Scotland. Bless those who may be preaching there today, Lord, and raise up people to go and talk to those and preach to those who are unconverted. And use this reading of this book now to be a blessing to those who hear it, Lord, and to fire us up again, to thrill us with your works, even in difficult times, and to stir us, to cry out to you, to come down in power and to send the kind of revivals upon Scotland, England and Wales and Northern Ireland, Lord, that have been seen in times past that have been posted here. So, Father, I pray you bless the reading of these accounts now and encourage all those who hear them. And, Lord, commission us, send us and use us for your glory. Help us to be spent, to spend and be spent in the service of honour and honour of our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we ask and pray in his precious name. Amen. Now, I should point out that this account is on my sermon audio webpage at the bottom in the eDocs section. And anybody's welcome to read it for themselves. I should also add that I wanted to call this book Consenting to Become More Vile, because that's the phrase that John Wesley used of himself when George Whitefield persuaded him to preach in the open air in Bristol for the first time. And he says that he consented to become more vile and preach in the open air, because up until that point he thought it was a sin to preach the gospel outside of a church building. But I've actually named it 6 weeks of encouragement on the east coast of Scotland in autumn 2003 by me, Dr. David C. Mackerith. So we read as follows. In autumn 2003, I was able to take 8 weeks off work, and after 2 weeks of preparation, I engaged in 6 weeks of very intensive open-air evangelism in various towns up and down the east coast of Scotland. These reports were written on the day in which the witness took place and were then emailed to a small body of interested praying individuals. I have placed these here for others to read because, one, I want to encourage those who are engaged in similar work. Two, I want to encourage others to be bold in evangelism. Three, I believe that it is good that these things are made known, and I hope that not only will other Christians enjoy reading them, but that they will bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we start with week zero, the end of, and this is the open-air report for Sunday the 31st of the 8th of 2003. And the scripture text is, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And that's Hebrews 12, verse 2. And there's a photograph of me standing outside one of the banks right in the centre of Aberdeen. The end of summer usually brings a marked change in climate here in Aberdeen. Today was noticeably autumnal with a brisk breeze and intermittent heavy showers. Thankfully it did not rain during the open air and the wind was blowing from behind me, I believe that, where possible, we should endeavour to preach in the open air, whatever the weather. People go shopping and play football in the rain. What does it say to them if they see that we don't go out in slightly adverse weather conditions? Does it suggest to them that we're not really committed, or that our message is not really all that important? People are very prepared to stand in the rain and listen, so we should be just as willing to stand in the rain and preach. Wind is the worst sort of weather condition for open air work. If you have even a slight crosswind, it can take your breath away and rapidly tire you out, as the effort required is far greater. At any rate, the conditions were okay today. At this time of year, people out shopping seem to walk twice as fast and be more intent on what they are doing. Less people hang around and few sit down, as the solid granite benches are not only cold but also soaking wet. On the more positive side, I have an open door to preach the gospel. The acoustics are excellent. The spot is very busy. The photo doesn't do it justice, as indeed it was today, and many people of all ages come under the sound of the gospel for varying periods of time. This Lord's Day evangelism has been going on for the most of the last 7 years, with occasional breaks. During that time, a certain man has been very constant in attending. He is a smartly dressed man of approximately 65 years of age, whom we have named Mr. Jacket, because he always wears a jacket and has a number of them in several different colours. When he initially came, he would only stop for a short time and would often leave when I said that Jesus was the only way and that his lamb could not save a man. Then, about 2 years ago, the hard expression on his face started to melt, and the words seemed to be having a visible effect on him. Sometimes he would walk away, but stop suddenly at something that was said and turn around and come back and listen further, and then repeat the same process. Now he stands and listens intently to most of the message, but he always leaves at 1 p.m. for what we do not know. Hopefully we'll soon be able to establish proper contact with him, but we have never pushed for this for several reasons. To be able to preach the gospel with liberty is a precious blessing. Throughout the history of the church, it seems that it has more often been the case that the gospel was prohibited than that such freedom should be allowed. We ought therefore to endeavour in every way to use this freedom whilst we still have it. We ought to be compelled by the lostness of souls and the love of God to go and preach Christ to those who are perishing. Today I preached for about half an hour and was grateful for the support of my family. My general theme was that of eternity and the meaning of eternal life and eternal damnation. I was able to speak at length on the atonement also. Many people walked past and some stopped and listened. One lady of about middle age stopped and listened for some time while smoking a cigarette. She later continued to listen further away by the door of Marks and Spencer with three friends. An Asian woman came up and took a photo of me. Another young woman stood right in front of me for a while, listening carefully. She may have been a Christian and seeking to intimate her approval of the work. A lad of about 15, accompanied by a lad of about 8, came past shouting, shut up, repeatedly. It always grieves me to see how young people are often hostile to the truth without even knowing what it is that they are opposing. I believe that this is particularly true of young people in the generation in which we live, and you will fairly regularly find even very young children cursing the preacher in the most horrible language. These two had to slow down to make their point, and this gave me the opportunity to drop my voice and address them both very closely about the condition of their own souls and their need for salvation. I believe it was Spurgeon who said that God can save a person through the intimations if he chooses. This is certainly true. How many people there are who pass through the city centre who get just snippets of the message, who nevertheless might one day be saved on account of this? For example, there are many cars that stop at the traffic lights and wind down their windows. For a minute they hear the gospel preached and then the lights change and away they go. There are also those who queue for the cash machine right next to me who almost invariably listen to the message. I mean listen, not just hear. This is in addition to those who just walk past and those many who listen for extended periods. My hope and prayer is that when these go home and they take out what they have purchased, the word of God will return to them with convicting power. It could be anyone, depending on the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that in days to come there would be many in Aberdeen who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. We find in Romans 10, verse 20, that the Lord has been found by those that did not seek him, and is that not particularly true and especially likely to be the case in the open air? I return my thanks to the Lord for his goodness to us this day. Yours in Jesus' name of service, David. Week 1, Open Air Report. For the 2nd of September 2003. And the text is, For when were we yet without strength? In due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5, verse 6. St. Andrew's in Fife. Just a note by the reader, which is me. I was a student in St. Andrew's for 4 years, and it was whilst I was a student there in my first year that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ myself as a result of the witness of other students in the university there. And it was in the open air in St Andrews that I first preached the gospel outside a door of a church, which is known as John Knox's door, which is a very sweet memory to me. And so to return at any time to preach in St Andrews was a matter of immense blessing and joy to me. So here we are, St Andrews at 1300 hours on the 2nd of September 2003. For me, St Andrews is a particularly great place. It has a history of being associated with the gospel through men like John Knox and Thomas Chalmers. It is also the place that I studied for medicine, and it was whilst I was a student there that I was converted through the witness of other students in 1982. For the record, I was actually in Lytham St Anne's at the time of my conversion. It would also appear, for obvious reasons, Prince William, who was a student there at the time, that the town is now as popular as ever. A great deal of open-air preaching has been undertaken by the brethren in the town, and it is about 2 years since I was last able to preach there myself. The spot that is illustrated above is in the town centre next to Holy Trinity Church. This church has an arch with a memorial plaque to John Knox, but I very much doubt that they would ever let him into their pulpit if he were alive today. This spot is also precious for me because it is where I first preached ever while still a student at the university there. It is a good spot because at lunchtime it is a busy thoroughfare for students and other folks, and also it gets packed out with young people who eat pizza and chips or whatever else they have purchased. Sure enough, there were many young people who came to spend their lunch hour there and had the opportunity to preach Christ to them very directly. I would say that they were largely around 14 to 15 years of age and equally boys and girls. Some, of course, thought to make fun of the preacher, and others listened intently. Across the main street there was a workman with a large petrol angle grinder working on the pavement. Thankfully, he only gave it 2 short blasts and much of the time listened himself. At one point, a man of about 60 came along exceedingly agitated. He tried to start a fight with one of the boys. I had to stop and intervene. With much difficulty, I managed to calm him down and persuaded him to leave. He said it was because the children mock him every day. He left cursing and swearing terribly. This, I believe, was an attempt by Satan to disrupt the preaching. Several of the children claimed that they served Satan. This is something one hears wherever one goes these days. Witchcraft has become cool, and there is such darkness and blindness as a result. I was able to address this, showing how Christ defeated the works of the devil when he died upon the cross. I preached for about 40 minutes and stopped when my mobile went, with a call from my agency offering me a locum in Oban the following week. It is hard to carry a burden for the preaching of the gospel and a responsibility to do medicine at the same time. Overall, it was most encouraging, and I went on my way rejoicing that I had particularly been able to address a good number of young people. Dundee, 1500 hours on the same day. Dundee also has some very interesting Christian history, being connected most especially with the names of Robert Murray McChane, William Chalmers Burns, and of course Andrew Bonar, whose addresses we're reading at the moment. Today it is a shadow of its former self spiritually. I first helped out with open-air work in Dundee 21 years ago by distributing tracts and speaking with people whilst others preached. Dundee has absolutely vast areas of precinct, and the main square is, for a preacher, quite intimidating. Today there were a very large crowd standing around, and the reason for this soon became evident. There had been a fire alarm in the Overgate shopping centre, and a full evacuation had taken place. Such crowds would be great to preach to, but it is not usually a wise thing to potentially complicate an emergency situation for the fire brigade. I decided to find somewhere less open and less crowded. However, the particular spot that I hadn't had in mind was taken by a violinist. I decided to go back to the Overgate for a last look. When I got back, the fire engines were leaving, the staff were returning to their shops, and the public were about to be readmitted. Perhaps I should just give it a try. I stood, as indicated on the photograph, and preached to the backs of a very large crowd. The doors to the centre opened and the majority just disappeared to continue their shopping. However, a significant number remained to hear the preaching. There were a number of younger people, but also a good number of pensioners who were filling the benches opposite. The majority of these listened intently to a full half hour's preaching. Whilst I was preaching, a man a reasonable distance away to the right of me started to shout abusively. His words, however, were unintelligible. As I continued, he gradually got closer and closer, shouting aggressively the whole time. I wasn't quite sure what to do, but certainly prayed that the Lord would intervene in this situation. The group of persons listening had latched onto the situation, and some were looking anxious, others amused at what might happen next. Finally, the man came right up very close to me. I think that he was most probably under the influence of drugs, and therefore readily available for Satan's service in disrupting the preaching. As he came up to me, I dropped my voice, looked him in the eye and said gently, "The Lord Jesus will have mercy on you and give you eternal life if you put your trust in him, sir." Well, that did it, and he raised his fist to strike me. Before he did so, he took a glance over his shoulder, and there in the distance were two police officers. They were a good way off and by no means looking in our direction, but he immediately dropped his fist and disappeared at speed. This, I believe, was a deliverance from the Lord, and anyone who does this kind of work is likely to have many such stories of the Lord's mercy towards them. There have been occasions in the past when I have been viciously attacked whilst preaching in the open air, but it has only been when the Lord has allowed it, and it is fully in the hands of a sovereign God who tells us that the hairs of our heads are all numbered. I left Dundee rejoicing that I was particularly able to address the gospel to a good number of older persons. God willing, the next open air will be this coming Thursday at 1300 hours in Inverness and 1500 hours in Elgin. So I'm going to end this episode here and come back to this in the near future.